to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 394. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me as we get back to business, my man. We got some live events to cover. I still had a live event to cover last week, but you didn't. How did you enjoy your weekend away from mixed martial arts?
It was fantastic. I'll tell you, it felt like a little vacation, even though I didn't do anything. It was just like a staycation, but dude, I slept in, got up, took nice little walks. I worked on my tan, even though it's at the end of the year. I got a nice little farmer's tan going on. It was great. And, you know, if you ask me how much I missed it, I didn't.
Oh, look at you.
At all.
Oh, look at you.
It was nice. In fact, it did kind of, it was funny, we went to going and getting back into the swing of doing the media day today. It just felt slow. Felt like getting back in the routine. It was just like, oh, here we go again. But no, it was great, man. I did watch your event, and I thought you and Joe Pyfer did very fine. But no, it was good. I enjoy it. We don't get those enough. So, I mean, the last thing I want to do is try to, you know, work or do anything crazy on those rare weekends off. So I was just able to kind of enjoy it, enjoy this lovely weather that we're shifting into here in Las Vegas.
October, best month of the year, baby. Best month. If you're ever coming to Las Vegas, come in April or October so you get the best weather. But to me, I've determined that of those 2 months that are great, great months, weather-wise, October is the best because that's the tail end of summer, right? You know what I mean? You're finally getting a break from the heat.
Yep.
You can go out and cook outside again and just chill on the patio.
Yeah.
Maybe grab a little cigar out there, hang out.
Fancy.
I mean, you never know. Whatever you feel like doing, whatever you like to do, but you can kick it outside and not bake in the Las Vegas sun. But no, CFFC 113 was fun. Got to work with Joe Pyfer, who, I'll just be honest, man, dude is a straight natural, man. That was his first time doing it.
Yeah, he
and,
did wonderful.
I thought he killed it, man. I thought he did a great job. And look, I mean, obviously, want to have my man CM Punk back. Obviously, that's my number one partner. But, you know, we've had some great ones, man. Let me go and get that out. Andre Petrosky has filled in.
He did a fine job.
He's done
as well.
A great job. Yeah. Dean Thomas, of course, who's the veteran. I mean, he's going to crush it every time. But Joe Pyfer, for his first time, man, I would be more than happy to work with him again. I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, he really, really did. I mean, obviously, he has the knowledge of the positions and stuff they're going to, but for him to kind of just take it in stride and be able to kind of just pitch in at those moments, give you some breather points, you know, I thought he did great. I thought he didn't skip a beat. I didn't hear any particular point where I was just like, oh, that was awkward.
Right.
You know, it felt very natural. So, yeah, I mean, kid's got a bright future.
I love it, man.
It's good to be Joe Pyfer.
It is good to be Joe Pyfer. But I tell you what, man, it has been so wild because, you know, last December, he was fighting on our card at CFFC trying to kind of build his way back, right? Comes in there, gets a big win. Obviously, I get to commentate that. Then he comes to Dana White's Contender Series, you know, gets the big win there. Of course, we get to be in the apex of that. He's had the big UFC win now already, and now I'm working alongside of him 10 months later. I mean, what a hell of a year, right? To go from, you know, I'm fighting on CFFC trying to get noticed to now I'm one of the biggest breakout stars of the year, really, right? I mean, he's got to be one of the biggest names of the year.
That's almost enough to worry. Like, if you're ever going to worry about if a guy's going to get too big for his britches, this is the stretch right now. I mean, remember when he even came to the UFC event, he had film crews following around the whole week, you know. The kid's a natural. I hope he stays, you know, if that what we're seeing now is a humble version of himself. I mean, I hope he stays like this because, I mean, the kid's got a bright future. He's got talent and he's got his head on his shoulder. And, man, he's got a future that, you know, a lot of these fighters want to do commentary. They want to pitch in that sort of stuff. But that's a tough gig.
It is.
I mean, it's tough. Not everybody has the, you know, they might have the knowledge and the skill set. But being able to actually say what is in your head and say it in a manner that you're delivering it to where somebody watching this show is like, oh, okay, cool, that like that adds something,
right?
He was a natural in it, you know.
So it's funny, like, because it was his first time doing it, originally we were how are we going to do this with the post-fight interviews, right?
Yeah.
So there's two ways you can do it. Either A, we can go have him do it, but we're like, man, he's never done it
never
before
done it.
Do we want to have him do it? The other way you do it is I could go do it, but if I go do it, that means I got to turn over the broadcast to him to fill and handle everything while I move from the booth.
That would be the worst option in terms of the duties.
Right.
Not just in the fact that he couldn't like just fill air for 30 seconds or whatever.
But you just got to know. And it's not that it's hard, but it's just you've never done it before, right? So what we decided was, well, let's do this because we don't necessarily want to have to throw the interviews on him because he's never done it before, and we don't want him to have to control the broadcast. So why don't we do like we used to do during the pandemic, which is – the fighter will stay in the cage, we'll shoot him there, and then we'll have a, you know, a steady cam on us, and then we can interview him like that. You know, yep. We can do it back and forth, put a headset on the fighter. And we did that for the first one. And I think it was Rob, our CEO, Rob Hadak, who was like, hey, I don't really like the way it looks. Like, let's go in cage. And so they made the call on the fly to have Joe go do the in-cage interview. So now he wasn't even supposed to do that. And we had, you know, told him, like, bro, don't even worry about it. You don't have to sweat it. And, man, without batting an eye, he was like, no problem, no problem. Yeah. He jumped in there, and he did good. And, yeah, man. And
talking about jumping in the fire, throwing him in there and getting him hot. I mean, like, but no, it was great. Because I watched the first one that you did, that I saw that when you – I didn't think it looked bad at all. I thought it was fine, you know. But obviously, Rob's seen a lot of them, and he wants the best product to come out. I mean,
yeah,
like, seeing a guy inside the cage interviewing is going to look a heck of a lot better than two guys sitting at a cage where one's interviewing and the other guy's just awkwardly in the frame.
Right.
And that's partially probably what he's like, let's just get rid of that. Because you could even see some of the bleachers or the risers behind you in the background as
probably,
well.
I haven't even seen the shot.
It wasn't like an isolated sort of shot where it was just you guys. So, I mean, I guess I can see where he might think that the shot was cluttered for what you were trying to do. But for him to be able to go in there and just take the interview from that, I thought he did great.
Me too, man. I look forward to working with him again. We had a good card, man. Main event was a little slow. You know, heavyweight MMA, unfortunately, sometimes that happens. You either get, you know, a first-round crazy knockout, or it gets to be kind of a slog at times with heavyweights, and unfortunately it did. But rest of the card was real good, man. So if you want to check that out on UFC Fight Pass, obviously that's been archived there. Heartbreak for my man Santo Curatola, man. Just have to throw that out there for him, man. A guy that, you know, our former champ at CFFC, who really, man, was just on absolute tear, and then got to Dana White's Contender Series and you know, had a loss. Then came back to CFFC, competed for an interim title, had a loss, got caught, and looked great, man. Santo looked amazing. He's fast. He's moving well. He's mixing the strikes together. The combinations, man. Punch, kick, takedown, you know, all right together. And then he just got caught with a high kick, man, straight across. And, man, I haven't heard the follow-up, but I think there was some concern that it knocked out several of his teeth.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and so he you know, didn't come out for the third round. So, heartbreak, man. I love that kid. And he had some amazing highlights for us. And it's a tough stretch, man. This game, that dude is so talented, man. But this game is tough, dude. It is not an easy one, man. So definitely want to send a shout-out his way, because it might – even though, you know – commentary, I guess it's not quite like being a journalist where you can't be biased at all, but, you know,
yeah.
Obviously, you know, I don't want to take anything away from his opponent. Shamel Finley, you know, happy for him as well. So it's one of those things where it's not that you're not happy for the guy that won, but, man, you watch these guys and you follow their journey, man, and you can't help but be, you know, a little bit heartbreaking for them when you see them take those steps back.
Yeah,
man, it's tough.
You would have to be a robot to not be, you know, to have some sort of feeling or attachment, especially in your case there where, I mean, like, you're fully invested in every one of the fights that you're having to call. You know, that's a little bit different than just spectating and then watching their stories, you know, reading their stories to everybody. You're getting connected to that. So, I mean, yeah, like you said, I don't think the winner would think anything less for you for feeling bad that the other guy lost. It's just one of those things, you know. I mean, it's going to come and go. I mean, like, I'm sure for the next fight, you're going to be happy that kid won. And, you know, you'd be rooting for him, you know. But, yeah, it's a tough sport, man. But I didn't realize he lost some teeth, man. That's hardcore.
I didn't know he realized it till afterwards either. I didn't hear it till after. So
yeah,
rough, man, rough. But great show, overall. And
people,
man,
do this by choice.
I know, right? It's the most vicious game, man. The highest of highs, the lowest of lows, to the nth degree, man. At CFFC, we got a busy final stretch coming up, man. We've got two MMA events next month in November, so we've got back-to-back weeks, which I'm excited about. We've also got something that I can't even talk about yet, but I'm excited. Once this announcement is made, not even to our folks. This is one, because it actually, all I can say is if it was just CFFC involved in it, I would just be like, ah, hell with it. I'm telling you. I'm going to tell y'all. But there's some entities involved that are not us, and because of that, I must respect their agreements and their privacy and all that good stuff. But an announcement is coming soon that does involve CFFC.
That sounds like an EA Sports lessons that you maybe learned somewhere. Somewhere down the line. Lawyers reaching out to people.
Oh, the fine folks at EA Sports are not fans of the MMA Roadshow. And I apologize for that. But no, we got this. We got that coming up in November. And then in December, we've got another MMA show. And it looks like we're going to have an end-of-year grappling show again as well, Fury Pro Grappling. So looking forward to all that that is coming up in the fourth quarter. But for now, this week, it is UFC Fight Night 2. Oh, you know what? I did want to share one story real quick that I forgot about. If you ever want to, I think maybe like humble yourself or keep yourself grounded, I'm gonna make a recommendation for you. When you travel on the road, go and get some kids' toothpaste that tastes like bubble gum. Because that's what I have in my travel bag right now, and I totally forgot about it. And what it was last time I was traveling, I was like, oh, I need to stop by the store because I need to get some travel toothpaste. And I forgot to do it, and we were like scrambling to go to the airport. Yeah. And so I asked my wife, I was like, do we have any like travel toothpaste by any chance? She's like, we don't, but I have like a little tube that's but it's kid toothpaste. And I'm like, ah, whatever, toothpaste is toothpaste. And I got it, but it's bubblegum flavored.
Yeah.
And there's just something weird about being a grown-ass man and brushing your teeth with some bubblegum flavored kitty sparkly toothpaste that just kind of humbles you a little bit, kind of grounds you a little bit, where no matter what's going on, you just got this bubblegum flavor in your mouth as you're brushing, and you're like, this is goofy as all hell.
Yeah.
So,
but at least you did it, though.
But at least so that's what I have. I've got to get that replaced before I go on the road again. But it stuck out.
Just, before somebody checks your bag or somebody happens to see it, you open up your bag and they're like, bro, what is that?
Crap. Yeah, I'm a grown-ass man with some bubblegum-ass toothpaste. All right, UFC Fight Night 212 is this week at the UFC Apex. A show that I think a lot of people are kind of overlooking and looking past, and I get that. I think the real problem is UFC 280 is just such a loaded stat card that everybody's so excited for that anything else in comparison is just going to get completely overlooked. I will say, man, I think the top three fights, especially on this, are very, very meaningful. And so I'm looking forward to this event, and especially those key matchups at the top. I think the other thing that happens too, and I actually just finished previewing the main event for Sports Illustrated, just turned in that copy, is that in two of the three featured fights, you know, we talk about it's those stakes. When you know what the stakes are, that's when you really get invested, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, the winner, obviously a title fight, that's easy. The winner's a champion. But others, oh, man, the winner's definitely, you know, going on to a number one contender fight. The winner's this, winner's that. And here you have two matchups between top five, really top six opponents, in Alexa Grasso and Vivian Araujo, who are number five and six, and Oscar Askroff and Brandon Royval, who are number four, number five. The problem is, I think, and that's kind of adding to why maybe some people are overlooking this, is even the fighters themselves are admitting, I don't think it's a number one contender fight, but it'll probably get me into a number one contender fight. So it's kind of that secondary type stakes. But I'm excited about these top three. I think we got some good matchups up at the top.
Yeah, I mean, and even when you go a little bit further down, I mean, we'll poke, you know, in some of these other, I mean, there's definitely some fights and some fighters, you know, that are intriguing. But you're right. I mean, like, in terms of ones that matter, with have a little bit more immediacy to matter towards a division, it's those top three ones, you know, for sure. Everybody else is kind of like, I mean, maybe not even the co-main. The co-main is just, you know, I mean, it's Cub Swanson. If you don't put him in the co-main, then it's really kind of awkward and weird that, you know, but that as for what does that mean for the division? Maybe not as much as the other two particular ones, but there's some good fights in here. I mean, I think there's a lot of names that stand in there when people looked at it, like, oh, shoot, I forgot about this guy, or this guy's coming up here and this guy's coming up. But, I mean, let's remember back in the day, that's what Dana wanted fight nights to be, were like where people were sort of gaining ground and establishing themselves to put themselves in a position that they would get the nod to be on pay-per-views.
Right.
I mean, granted, they don't have three multiple different platforms like they used to. It used to be like, all right, well, you're going to be on, you know, whatever it was, Fox Sports,
yeah,
and then
Fox,
you're going to be on Big Fox,
FS1.
And then you're going to be on the FS1, you know. It's not quite as, you know, sort of convoluted as it was back then. But looking at the card, I mean, there's a lot of really good names that I think when people look at it, they'll say, okay, that guy, I like this person, I like this girl, you know, they'll give it a look. But in overall terms of name value, a lot of people that I've seen just sort of are shitting on it because, you know, just like of a lot of other cards, when you get those cards like 280, which is right around the corner, everybody's just mouths watering. They're just like, I can't wait, I can't wait. Let's just get through this week and let's get there. But you know, so it's hard to kind of stay focused on this one, you know, something like that so close. But in terms of the diehards that would watch a card like this, I think there's a lot of meaningful fights and a lot of meaningful fighters that are the ones that we need to kind of pay attention going forward.
And I think what you touched on there is really the thing that I think hopefully everybody has realized by now is I do believe you're right. The card structure has changed because before, you know, and they would talk about it, like, look, we have to give a good main event to Fox. We like Fox, you know, we have to give – so they would peel a lot of these, you know, fights away from – now the pay-per-views are just stacked, you know what I mean? Like, for instance, I mean, you could very easily have Peter Yan and Sean O'Malley. That could headline a fight night event easily. Beneil Dariush, Mateusz Gamrot, that could headline a fight night.
Yep.
Bilal Muhammad, Sean Brady, that could headline a fight night. But instead, all these are on one card, and that's because you're right. You don't have all these, you know, different interests where everybody wants the big thing. You know, ESPN is a partner in these pay-per-views. So what do they want? Yes, they want some content for ESPN Plus. They want to know that you know people are wanting to subscribe because they want to watch that. But then they want that pay-per-view stacked. So they're coming with $75.
Well, that's it. I was just going to say they're asking more and more and more, and there's already a decent amount. It's not like, there's a handful of events, pay-per-view events in a year. There's a decent amount. So how do you keep people's interest to want to keep going to the wallets? You have to have an incredible card.
Got to stack.
And unfortunately, that means sometimes taking guys that would be a great fit for this one. You know, I could see where somebody might say, oh, is Grasso Araujo, I destroy her name.
Wow, that was terrible.
I know. I haven't had any beers. That's why I probably would have just rolled off
me right up over here. I'm having an award winning Pabst Blue Ribbon. That's how we doing it today. I'm not doing coffee this afternoon. No sir.
I mean, but you know what's crazy about this is that I think even the main event. I mean, it's worthwhile for these ladies to step up, and I like it when they give the chance for the ladies to kind of take the helm on a card. You know, if there's ever anybody that sort of questions the UFC's, commitment to putting females mixed martial arts on a main scene, this is another instance right here where it's like, if they didn't believe in it, this isn't even like the number one, number two, three or four, they're at the top, they're in the contention, but here they are saying like, okay, no, we're not just going to take these other big names. They could have easily said, let's make Cub Swanson the main event.
Yeah.
They did not do that in this one. You know, they decided to put the ladies. So, I mean, in that sense, the card deserves some support even on that sense right there, because they're putting somebody in the main event that's wild. It's worthwhile, but it's also showing their commitment to female women's MMA that a lot of people, feel sometimes that they kind of lack in doing.
And let's not – and I guess it should be mentioned as well. Let's not forget, originally this was supposed to be Jared Cannonier versus Sean Strickland. And I wonder, would that one bout addition enough alone be enough for people to not be giving it the disrespect?
No,
you think they'd still –
I mean, I like that fight, but I'm not sad that it's not here because I know we're going to get it eventually.
That's what I'm saying. You think people would still be saying,
I mean, I think you're right. When you said it before, it's in the shadows of this looming skyscraper of an event that everything on both sides of this event is going to pale in comparison.
And let's be honest, 281 right behind it as well, man. Are those pay-per-views insane or
it's
what?
The level of what they're happening to do. I mean, I remember when there were times we were seeing some of these pay-per-views when there was like three title fights or two title fights, you're like, it can never get more insane. And like,
they're getting more insane.
They just keep getting more insane. I mean, not everyone reaches to the same pinnacles of some of the other ones, but I mean, all in all, I mean, they're doing a pretty darn good job of putting exciting pay-per-view cards. I mean, if you're going to have to go in for extra $5 here or there, extra $10, whatever they've raised it to, it's good that they're making it worthwhile. So,
no doubt about it. All right, well, let's talk about what we do have. Alexa Grasso versus Viviane Araújo. Grasso, a pretty sizable favorite, which I got to be honest, I was a little surprised to see. And I want to get your opinions on it because, look, again, a very meaningful fight. Certainly, it plays into what happens with Caitlin Chookagian and Manon Fiorot at UFC 280 in terms of who emerges as the next challenger for Valentina Shevchenko. It's going to be one of these four names you would expect out of this week's fight and next week's fight. Alexa Grasso, again, just one step ahead in the rankings. Of course, Alexa Grasso as the slick boxer. Meanwhile, Araújo as, the more well-rounded fighter, I would say. Probably not as slick.
She's got good striking, but I wouldn't consider like the same sort of level. She doesn't look as smooth in maybe her feet work.
Right.
All that sort of stuff. She's more power.
Absolutely. And just jacked.
Oh, my God.
Dude, she is so athletic. It's incredible.
I just wanted her to flex up there because I just wanted to be like, oh my God. Her arms are fantastic. Her arms are so fucking gun show. It was gun show for days today.
Give us an Kutalaba up there.
Just, yeah, just rip it off.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
That probably would have been weird, but can you just rip your shirt off? Just do it.
No, I didn't say rip the shirt off. I just. Just give us
we know
flex.
How you like to ask UFC fighters to take their shirts
only
off.
Only the guys. But look, so, you know, Alexa Grasso comes in on a nice win streak, obviously does have the striking. Alexa Grasso, to her credit, and I love the honesty, she said in the media day, this is the hardest opponent I've ever trained for. She said, this is the toughest I've ever trained for. You know, she moves well. She's got great grappling, you know, but I have been working on my jiu-jitsu, and I'd love to test it against a black belt.
No, you don't.
Yeah. And by test it, I mean defensively staying away and pushing away and striking. Meanwhile, Viviani, like, you know, a lot of respect for Grasso as well. Said, look, she's got phenomenal boxing. I know that. But we've been working on it. And she also said, look, and she was honest as well. She said, I've been working on my wrestling because I believe I can take her down and I can keep her there. And that's what we're going to work on.
Game plan that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. Alexa needs to keep the fight standing, needs to wear her down with strikes. And then if she hurts her and takes her to the ground, good, go for it, you know, but wait till she's hurt.
Yep.
And on the flip side, don't try to make it a striking battle. I mean, if you're feeling good and you're feeling your hands, you're feeling a little something, that's cool. But if it's not working, get to what works for you.
Right.
I mean, because she doesn't want to take too much damage from Alexa, because Alexa, she's tough as nails, man. She always shows up. She's always smiling, super happy. But, man, that switch flips when she gets in there, and it's a totally different Alexa, and she's fucking mean, man. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And you know what I love, too, is worth saying, too, Alexa's English is getting so good, and
now
she can do her interviews in English. I just think that, again, I always feel like I'm sounding – rude when I say that like, you know, why do you have to speak English? Why don't you speak their language? You know what I mean? And I get that, but it's just the reality of it, right? I mean, the North American audience is the big pay-per-view audience. And, you know, obviously most of that is English speaking. So I think it's great. And of course, obviously she speaks Spanish as well. So she's got the appeal to that community as well. But it's so cool to see her up there doing those interviews without even anybody like translating the question or not even anybody on standby just to make sure she understood or something. You know,
I mean,
she's
like
just rocking it out.
That accent's hot, though. I'm not going to lie. Whatever. The accent's hot because, yeah, no, it works.
So all right,
keep doing you, girl.
Let's fight. All right. Are your picks in?
Picks are in. And I initially leaned towards Grasso.
I kind of leaned towards Grasso as well, but I was a little bit surprised to see that I thought this would be basically like a pick'em type fight. She's sitting at like -220.
Yeah, well, right now it says two on this particular one. Well, I guess it depends who. DraftKings, if this is current right now, DraftKings on this particular site, Best Fight Odds, which is not an advertising, but if somebody wants to give us.
Best Fight Odds is a good place to go. Yeah,
it's a decent one.
It's got all the lines.
They are at -215, BetMGM's -225, Caesars -230. Vivian is +185 at DraftKings, +185, +190, all sort of roughly around that area. So it's not the biggest underdog. You know, biggest favorite sort of numbers, but clearly everybody's seeing Alexa as the favorite one.
So I have to tell you what, though, don't just discount
Viviani.
That's
why I
want to
see him.
Risk,
I want to see him when they're face to face, when they're you know, on that weigh-in day. I just want to see how the size difference. And granted, size is not everything, but I mean, it's not like we see Vivian go in there and get tired and. Just sort of deplete, man. If she can carry that strength and if she can get the fight on the ground, we see her get fights on the ground. We've seen people take Alexa down. It's not that Alexa never gets to the ground. She just does a decent enough job when she gets there to stay out of trouble. But, man, yeah, I leaned initially for Grasso, but I'm still thinking I still need to take that one last look when they're in the same room staring up at each other and see how well they look. It didn't look like either one of them was struggling. I don't think we're going to have any issues making weight or anything like that.
Nah.
So.
Big women's flyweight matchup there. We'll see how it plays out. Big bantamweight matchup in the co-main event. Cub Swanson versus Jonathan Martinez. Now, interesting day at media day today, right? Jonathan Martinez, who, you know, if you've listened to this show, you know how we feel about Jonathan Martinez, which is I absolutely love the guy because it is crazy to me how scared he is of doing media and hasn't had an opportunity to do a whole lot of pre-fight media, but we've seen him in you know, post-fight scrums and stuff over the years, and he's deathly terrified of getting in front of the cameras. And it cracks me up because when you think about what they do for a living, man, like, bro, you strip down to your shorts – you get into a steel cage and you have hand-to-hand combat with another human being, and that doesn't make you nervous, but just telling me how you're feeling makes you nervous. Yeah. I mean, it's wild.
It's a backwards world. It's the underworld.
I love the guy so much.
The upside down world. That's it.
It's incredible, man. It's so incredible. So he came into the media day today, and as expected, he just answers like two-word answers very softly, very quietly. And I actually posted the video on my Twitter account. At the end, it's hilarious when it's over. And it only lasted about like 2.5 minutes, I think, maybe 3 minutes. And at the end, like, you can see him go exhale, and then it actually picks up on the mic, which I didn't hear in the room. He's like, oh, shit. Like, I'm thinking, like, thank God it's over. And he's got this look on his face like, exhale, and I'm done. And I just – it's one of the most unique characters I've ever seen in the sport, because, again, to do what they do for a living, you would just think that being in front of a camera and talking would be absolutely nothing.
It
cracks me up.
He's like the one extreme, kind of like with – we'll see, like, Cowboy. Cowboy hated going in there fighting. You know, he'd have all these moments of where he's like, he was completely shitting himself with fear until he got in there and take a couple punches. But then when you see him on media day, it was like the most cordial, most like wonderful person, where you're like, I can't believe you fight. And there's another guy, it's like, he looks so shy, and you're just like, there's no way this guy could ever get in there and fight. And then he flips the switch, and then he goes in there, he's completely different. And it's cool because we actually got to hear from his teammate that says, like, you guys don't get to see the real him,
right?
You know, like, he actually talks. And I heard somebody else say that too. And I'm like, I want to see that, you know, like, I want to see that version. I mean, you could tell that he's got a good sense of humor, that he likes it, you know, even the way that even just saying like, oh, shit, just being humble, but being also just sort of having fun with that moment. Just like, bro, just be like that when you're talking to us, and like, we're just going to love you for it. You know, I mean, it's got to be a little bit intimidating to go in there knowing that these are the same people that might – I mean, media does have a bad rep at times, because a lot of times they do some silly shit. You know, they'll take a phrase and then make a title, and it makes it seem like you're picking on a fighter.
Right.
So a fighter immediately might go in there thinking that, okay, I'm walking into an unfriendly room with all these cameras, with all these stuff. He's like, I just want to get through it. I just want to get through it. Whereas if they came in there thinking like, hey – These people are on my side. Let's just have a good time. Let's just have the most fun that we can have right now, and then let it be done. But it's tough to flip that switch. I mean, everybody always says, you know, like when they always say, what's one of your biggest fears? What do people always usually say? And it's public speaking.
Yep.
You know, like, nobody likes to do it. It's one thing to say like, oh, I just don't understand why they don't just talk. Why don't they just? It's easy to say that when you're on this side of the camera, and it's easy when you say it when you're not in front of a bunch of people. But I mean, like, I think back to any book report or anything I did when I was a kid, and it was always very unnerving, you know, like, I never felt good. As I got older and as I did enough, I think I got better about it.
Yeah.
But we all went through those phases where everybody's just like, oh my God, this is the worst. This is the worst. Just for some people, just kind of
still going.
Their career is still just going, you know?
All right, so that was the one side of it. We knew what to expect. It wasn't any surprise. We know Jonathan Martinez hates doing stuff, and he's such a fun fighter, too, man. I love watching him fight. But then the flip side of it, we got this unique Cub Swanson moment, right? Now, this one caught us totally by surprise, because Cub Swanson, generally, I think he's one of the most well-liked among us in terms of just hearing him talk, because he's very real, he's open, he's honest, he has great perspective.
And always great stories.
Great stories.
Always has great stories.
It's just really, so I think we were all looking forward to it. Instead, he comes in, sunglasses on, Dan Argueta is there with him, his teammate, training partner, and Dan does all the speaking for him, and it says, look, I'm going to start out by, you know, Cub needs to rest his voice. He's had some phone calls and stuff today. So I'm going to interview for him, and he's testing me to see if I answer things the right way. And I think I didn't know what to make of the whole thing, but I was like, all right. Like, I mean, look, Cub's been in the game long enough. If this is what he wants to do, like, I'll play along. You know what I mean? Like, let's go. So we did it, but I didn't know if he was ever going to stop, and he didn't. So Cub never said a word. Dan answered every question. To be honest, it was kind of funny, because I had seen some Cub interviews and heard some Cub interviews, and the answers that Dan were giving were actually answers that came from those interviews. So props to Dan for at least paying attention to what his boy's been saying and saying the same line. So we didn't get anything fresh. But, you know, here's where it all goes to me is I'm still, as we sit here, trying to figure out what to make of it all, right? Because my instant concern is that he's having a bad weight cut.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I don't know. You know, obviously he's making the move down to 35, And so I think that's, for me, is it because, you know, we hear guys when they're cutting weight, you know, they do start to get a little dehydrated in that voice. So when you say he's letting him rest his voice, you know, is that just being silly, or is that like, not really, he can barely talk right now because he's dry? We saw him walking around the Apex. It didn't look like he was really struggling. We heard he did some of the other interviews and stuff behind the scenes, right? So he did, it wasn't like he avoided everything. And I'm sure if he just, if he felt like trash, they wouldn't have made him come out there at all. So I don't know. I don't know if we should read into this that, like, this 35 thing might not be the right thing, or if Cubs just, you know, having a little fun, just doing something a little different. I don't know.
I would think if he was having fun, he would have killed the bit at some point, you know, and I feel like we never got the bit. The bit never ended. But I think you're right. I mean, I think, I guess the safe bet would be think that it was just the cuts hard. He's feeling a bit out of sorts and just doesn't want to talk. It's just so out of character that it just leaves us all scratching our head, because we've never seen Cub be like this before. We've seen Cub in weight cuts before, which he actually looked like he was really struggling, but he still was Cub,
right?
You know? So, I mean, and that's why I was joking with, you know, to peel curtain behind everybody. I turned around to John and I was like, did you piss Cub off or something? I was like, I thought this was another like Colby moment. I was like, you know, he came out here and we're like, he was like not going to talk. I was like, uh-oh, what did Morgan do? But yeah, I mean, I hope it's just a matter of that, you know, he's just having a little weight cut. I mean, I would think that there was a real fact, if he was trying to protect his voice from anything like an illness or anything, that would put the fight in jeopardy. So I hope it's nothing along those lines. I think you're probably right. I think it's just, you know, weight cut. But I mean, I know if I was cutting weight and I was hangry, the last thing I want to do is have to go do some obligations. I would probably, you know, just be like, dude, whatever. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
I'm just here so I don't get fined, right? A little bit of that.
It could be a little bit of that as well. You know, never know.
And listen, I mean, you know, when Jose Aldo made the move down to 35, I know we were all like, oh, my God, he looks terrible. And then he came out and was competitive, you know what I mean? So
he
may have no impact whatsoever. But, I mean, I guess we'll definitely be paying attention to what the scales look like on Friday.
Yeah. I mean, it was just – Cub was the one – if we looked at who was going to be there today, Cub was one of the bright spots I think we all expected to happen. And I think everybody was just a little shocked because it was so out of character. And then was just like, fuck, we never got the payoff.
Right.
Like, Cub would have been like the one that we're all like, probably would have got the best hits from.
Right.
You know, and by Cub doing what Cub did, we're still getting the
still
best
getting
hits.
Still getting the best hits out of it, right?
And he never said a word.
Never
you know?
Said
so
a word.
So thanks, Cub.
I love it. Crazy how this thing works sometimes.
We'll send you a thank you card later.
So funny.
Yeah.
Competitive matchup, by the way. Odds do favor Jonathan Martinez, which
– it is a great fight.
I think it's a great fight. Stylistically, I think it's going to be an absolute banger. I kind of understand why Martinez is the favorite, especially with Cub coming into a new division and not knowing how his body's going to react and not, you know, not being able to see it firsthand. But I think that could be – a very competitive and very entertaining matchup. So looking forward to that co-main event. The featured fight between Askar Askarov and Brandon Royval at flyweight. Obviously, that one's a big key one as well. Askarov at 4, Brandon at number 5, the raw dog at number 5. One of the best walkout songs in the game, too, man. Oh, baby, I like it raw. looking forward to this matchup. Brandon, I talked to him kind of at length in an interview a week or two ago. You know, he kind of admitted he knows this is a tough, tough stylistic matchup.
Yep.
But, you know, he says he's prepared for it. And, you know, he thinks he can still make this thing exciting and be able to, you know, counter-wrestle and cause some issues. Meanwhile, Askarov, of course, man, talented right there at the top of the division. Will, I think, fight for a title at some point in his career. I mean, this is a big key matchup. And by the way, the UFC on Fight Pass, they just did – I think it's new. I had never – we did a read for it, is actually the way I heard about it. We had an ad read for it during our CFFC broadcast, and so I actually watched it last night. It's really good, man, talking about Askarov's upbringing, man. And, man, it's got some really good footage from over in Dagestan and just kind of shows you the conditions. And, you know, one thing I didn't know is that his hearing, you know, his hearing was fine until he was in about the sixth grade, and then it started to deteriorate to where it is now. So, you know, he talked about his journey in wrestling and Just really good. So if you've got UFC Fight Pass and you're looking for something to watch that's maybe not fight related, check that one out, man. I thought it was good. But this is a key matchup. I'm excited for it. Brandon Royval is fun, man. He keeps it entertaining, and he was good today. And I think we'll go ahead and play that because it's funny. We got going because I was kind of joking with him because, you know, he's the top five guy, right? But his teammate Jonathan Martinez got the co-main event, and you know, I was kind of ribbing him about that. You know, did they have any conversation about it, and led to him, you know, saying some of those things that you did about Jonathan Martinez, and considering I like both these guys so much. Let's hear a little bit from the Raw Dog.
Top five matchup. I mean, big one on paper. Does this fight feel bigger than others, or does every fight just kind of feel the same for you at this point?
So far in my career, every fight's been the most important fight, honestly. And it's just like, this is a huge matchup for me. This is a really skilled opponent. And yeah, man, it feels bigger than others, honestly. It really does. And the more of a statement I can make in this fight, the closer I can get to a title. And that's always the main goal for all of us fighters anyways, is just get to that championship belt as soon as possible and the smoothest way as possible. And hopefully I can make a statement and make a campaign towards that title shot or a contender shot.
Your teammate stole the co-main event from you, man. Did you let him know you're not going to stand for that?
Yeah, no, I love it. I love that he has an opportunity to be the co-main event. Jonathan deserves it, man. He's been working his butt off. He's been working really hard, man, and it was really cool. I knew when the main event dropped off, I immediately texted my manager, and I campaigned for me to try to get that main event spot. I was like, hey, five rounds suits me well. I have really good cardio. I believe in my cardio a lot. And I was hoping for that five-round spot. And I was like, hey, I hear they're not this is the internet talking, but or Twitter talking. But I'm like, I hear they're not booking the Strickland-Cannonier fight or replacing the fight for it. So it's like, we're the top ranked on this card. And I was like, I think the main event spot will suit us, you know? And I was like, if you guys can campaign for that, please do. And they replaced it with the Grasso fight, and then Jonathan got the co-main event. And then we're kind of worried about that when Neil Magny and D-Rod came on. We're like, all right, well, who's going to co-main event it now? And we're like, as long as it's one of us two, man, I don't really care, man. It's just great that to see him get the opportunity. And hopefully on one of these few upcoming cards, we can keep working up together, and he can main event a card and I'll co-main event it, or vice versa, man. So it's really cool. And I feel like people mistake me and Jonathan constantly anyways for each other. So it's one of those things that it's like, it's funny anyways, because they're like, Brandon Royval's fighting Brandon Royval's fighting twice on this card, or like whatever it is, or Jonathan's fighting twice on this card. So it's hilarious. And it was really cool to prepare with him this whole entire time.
You guys have slightly different interview styles, though.
Yeah. I don't ever shut up, and Jonathan's super quiet. It's so funny, though, in, like, real life or whatever. He's just, like, the funniest person you'll ever meet and just, like, really outgoing. And I wish he'd break those barriers because, oh, man, he's an incredible person, man, and he's hilarious, and he's one of the funnier people I've ever met. So it's like, if he's ever able to get comfortable, and I'm hoping they keep giving these co-main event spots or these main event spots where he's doing these medias and making the proper call-outs and stuff, and you can just see this kid turn into a superstar, because that's what he is, man. He's a superstar, and he deserves all these spots and everything that's going towards him. And it's cool to see him do it without having, like having to not be himself, you know? And like, he's still like, when I first met Jonathan, he came to the gym. I couldn't even believe he came to a new gym because how quiet he was like the first week. And he would just sit there and he'd be like, yeah. So to see, like, to one, get to know him, and it didn't take me long to break the barrier with him because I don't ever shut up. And so it didn't take me long to break the barrier with him. But yeah, I just hope you guys really get his full personality one day, because that's an amazing kid. And man, I hope that, like, he gets all these interviews in the world so he can get better at it and make the proper call-outs and just navigate his career the way he needs to.
That's awesome, man. Those are kind words. All right, so we talked ahead of time. I mean, you know, obviously, what Askar's style is like, but what are you expecting from him? I mean, we know you for exciting fights. Like, can this be an exciting fight, or do you feel like, man, I've got to get ready for a grind in this thing?
Oh, it's going to be both, man. I want to grind. I want to grind. I want to, like, prepare to grind him out. And, you know, I think we talked about it. Just put out that Steve Fontaine mindset of just I'm going to fight, and I want to make it hell for both of us. And it's like, if I feel the hell, and if I feel the pain of a fight, then I know he's feeling it. And it's like, I want to put us both through hell, and I want to come out the top person. And that's the whole entire goal of this fight, is just drag us to hell and come out lighting that fire. You know what I'm saying?
obviously, everything we got to see how everything plays out, and you laid out how the division is. Do you have a prediction for how the fourth fight goes in the championship matchup? Do you know who's going to come out of that one?
Yeah. Brandon Moreno's going to win, and they're going to hold up the division and have a sixth fight, and that's just my luck, and that's what it's going to be, you know? I don't have a necessary prediction, but knowing how everything's going to shape out, Brandon Moreno's going to win, and they're going to fight six times in a row or five times in a row, however many times they fought.
Do you think you know, you win here, you make that statement you want to make. Do you think you try to get on that card maybe to, like, kind of, you know, be on the same schedule or be available as a backup or whatever?
I think Pantoja got the backup spot, but ideally I can try to navigate. If I can go out there, get a finish on Askarov, I don't see why that wouldn't earn me a Pantoja rematch on the undercard on that. Or not the undercard, but somewhere on that card, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, that's the goal, man, to go win this fight and then try to line myself up with one of these guys. The winner, loser of that, or the loser of that fight would be great. Our Pantoja would be great. Or the winner would be even better. I don't necessarily see that happening as of right now.
So, Brandon,
what's up, brother?
What's your sleeve?
What's my sleeve? It's like a Japanese style sleeve of like the temples, samurais, and just kind of like an Asian style, man.
What did you think, like, why'd you do that?
Yeah, so when I was 18, I was going to get the same exact tattoo. It's just like the samurai and all that stuff, and mainly Impulse, I guess. Impulse, I won a couple bonuses in a row, and I remember there's this dude, I followed this like Colorado tattoo page, and there's this dude who was like going as a guest artist coming out from Philly, and I was like, damn, I really like his style. I like black and white art and all that stuff, and it was like, you know, I don't have a fight in the next coming months. And it was like, if I can sneak in this, so I shot him a direct message. That blue check mark probably helped me out a little bit. I shot him a direct message and I was like, yo, I would love to be your piece of artwork. And then I like went to like one of my, my dad, who's like, you know, like, he's like, what is it? Like, he's well thought out. Like he's not making rational decisions and like irrational decisions. Yeah, he's a rational person. And, he was like, yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're going to get it by that guy. So I shot him a message, and then like an hour later, I put the deposit on, and the next week I was getting tatted, and I was like, damn, I can't believe I just did that. Like, it was probably the most, one, irresponsible thing I've ever did with money, but also just like the most impulsive thing someone like me has ever done, because I just like, I'm so cautious, and like, if I make a decision, it's going to take 6 days, all the above. So it was just like, I couldn't believe I did it. And it was like one day I had zero tattoos, and the next day I had I'm more tatted than most people I've ever met. So it was just kind of funny how it all worked out. And it was really cool too, because it was like, if I'd have got this sleeve when I was 18, I would have probably had it like stick figure, drawn samurai, all the above. And it's just like, I'm glad I could do it when I earned some money and had the proper tattoo artist and just had the same idea and all that stuff. So it's kind of funny it worked out that way.
Well, I think you made a good decision because it looks dope.
Yeah, you know, I got voted, like, I don't know if this means anything, but like, it doesn't mean anything, but like on UFC Instagram tattoos, I got voted the best sleeve, so I was pretty stoked about that.
That is fantastic. Thank you.
Brandon back here.
How's it going?
I know we have the big flyweight title fight coming up, and usually when you have a UFC champion, the world accepts them as the best in that division. But now that Demetrius Johnson is back and winning, as someone in this flyweight division, who do you consider to be the best flyweight in the world?
The best flyweight in the world is Demetrius Johnson, man. That's the GOAT. I love watching him fight. I think he's probably the most well-rounded. What he does is amazing, and it's like, you know, one day if I win that belt, I want to merge titles, man. That would be ideal, right? Is to go out there and fight Mighty Mouse. That'd be a dream come true. It's fighting someone that's just done so much for our division, our sport, and just someone that's just undeniably probably the best that's ever happened in the sport.
Oh, I love that, man. Very, very entertaining, man. It's so funny. Like, you know, Brandon says him and Jonathan get kind of confused a lot. I'm like, not if you hear them speak. You will not confuse anyone, but you know immediately who's who. But I thought it was kind of fun to hear those behind the scenes in the gym kind of talks, as you alluded to, you know, getting to see the real guy. So,
yeah.
Fun stuff there. All right, the rest of the main card, Jordan Wright versus Dusko Todorovic. Good fight. I think this one's probably going to end early. Jordan Wright is always in matchups that end early. Dusko had a...
one way or the other. He's either winning or he's going down.
Or he's going down. Dusko, I thought, was having a good performance last time out, and then he got caught. But I love the fact that he owned up to it. I thought it was actually really cool that he said a lot of people tried to make me feel better and say that Chidi and Jaquani caught me with a lucky shot, and I had to tell them no. He trained to throw that shot. You know, he worked on that, and he threw it, and he landed it. He's like, that's not a lucky shot. That's what he trained to do. I thought that was so cool to hear somebody, because he didn't have to say anything at all. It's not like we even asked him about it, you know, but for him to go out of his way to say, no, don't take anything away from him, man. He landed that. I thought that was all class. And I thought it was very, very cool as well, because I didn't know this about Dusko, that he hasn't been able to have his head coach in his corner at all during his USC career due to visa issues. And now he's going to have his head coach in his career, who he said, by the way, sent him a text message right before the fight started saying, hey, be careful for elbows. And the elbow was the one that did it. So coach knows what's up. So we'll see what kind of adjustments he can maybe make in this fight, too. It's crazy.
Pay attention to that, man. Yeah,
right? I mean, he was rubbing the crystal ball. You know what I mean? He's like, watch out for the elbow. Meanwhile, Jordan Wright, you know, I thought he had some great things to say as well, saying that, you know, he's really kind of dialed in his diet these days, and things are a lot better, and he's feeling much more energy on a fight week. And so anyway, I think it could be a very explosive fight. And the one that kicks off the main card as well could be a very explosive fight as well. Misha Cirkunov and Alonzo Minifield. Minifield, another guy who is
wasn't elaborating much today.
My man goes with the two word answers about you know, as much as possible, but he's always that way. He's that way every time. So and I didn't realize, I think it was I can't remember who said it, that he did his whole camp up in Colorado this time around instead of with Fortis. So I thought that was interesting. He said it was just training to do it because he wanted to train it at altitude and get that feel. So interesting, because obviously Fortis, we know what a team they are, what a squad they are. So
I'm going to have to switch my picks.
Look at that. Picking against the going second out. Prelims kick off with Manny Martinez versus Brandon Davis. I think that should be an absolute banger of a fight right there.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
Those two dudes can scrap. Manny Martinez is a slight favorite in that one. That'll be an absolute barn burner. Rafael Assunção, you know, had some losses, but man, against the absolute elite level competition, he's in there against Victor Henry on the prelims as well. And then we get to this man, Jacob Malkoon is fighting Nick Maximov, who I think this is interesting, because I believe, is this not the second time in a row that he wasn't actually supposed to be at the media day, but he actually arranged with PR to be at media? I hesitate as I say this. Because if everybody on the roster did it, we'd have some very long media days.
Yeah, yeah.
But we
do not want that.
But I can respect the hustle. I can respect the hustle. Say, hey, man.
No, don't respect it. Don't respect him. Don't reward his behavior. Do not reward his behavior.
I like Nick Maximov, man. He's had the weirdest career, you know, the ups and downs. As he came and said, look, I think, after his last fight, so incredibly frustrated after his last fight, and yet here he was at media day, even though it wasn't scheduled to do so. And so I wanted to hear from Nick Maximov as well, because this dude's just a character to me, man. I like him. Here he is. I'm rewarding him.
Nick, obviously, last fight out, things didn't exactly go the way you expected. I guess, you know, talk to me about just kind of dealing with that loss and moving past it, I guess.
I would say I still haven't even dealt with it in a way. It kind of feels not even real and shit still. It was a hard thing to swallow, and I hopefully never can have that happen again. But, you know, that's probably the worst possible outcome ever. So I think anything from here on out is going to be a lot better.
What was your, you know, initially afterwards, man? I mean, were you like...
Horrible, man. I was fucking pissed and upset. Because I was mad. It was, but I was just disappointed because I didn't get a chance to show anything and do what I got to do. So that's what I think was really upsetting. I've lost wrestling matches by getting, you know what I'm saying, the same type of stuff from points, and it's like that. It was a hard one.
So talk to me about the focus since, man. I mean, were you like immediately back in the gym, or were you burned out and wanted away for a little bit? Like, what was the process?
Yeah, I'm always in the gym. It's never been a thing like that. But I went on like a more of a mental, just kind of checked my ego type thing, and just kind of did some shit on my own for like a few weeks, and went out of I went out and fucking just kind of found myself again, try to rejuvenate myself, you know. And yeah, that was a hard one, man. That was a hard day.
So you made it out to Montana to train with Kron a little bit?
Oh, yeah. That was a fun time, man. We had a good time. And Kron's, you know, still a beast. And, yeah, it was a good time. Good to see him.
Then you got to soak in all the chaos of UFC 279 as well.
Crazy, man. That was crazy. You know, Nate's a G forever. And I think the way Hamzat approached that shit showed his true colors, man. That's some bitch-made shit. You know what I mean? I don't care what you do at the end of your career or whatever, bro. That you can't be doing shit like that, you know. And props to Tony for stepping up, too. Because that's, taking a fight with Nate Diaz on one day's notice is not easy.
Yeah. I was just saying, I mean, seeing all that firsthand, is that, you know, kind of, I guess, is there lessons in that for you that, like, you've got to be ready for anything? I mean, that whole thing shook up in a day, but it worked out great for Nate, right?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, that was a great ending, like a storybook ending, really. And I don't think it happened to anyone else but Nate, you know, in anyone's career ever. So it was cool. But, yeah, it's a... I would say, though, like, we always have crazy shit happen to us all the time, so it wasn't like we were not even that tripping on it, but everyone else was, like, the whole press conference getting canceled and stuff. I thought it was an over-exaggeration on everything, but who knows.
All right, so you get back to that, then you get to your career. Had you hoped to fight sooner than this, or was this about the time?
Way sooner, but they were just holding me out, you know. I wanted to fight, like, 4 or 5 times this year, but yeah, I guess it doesn't always go your way.
At least you got a matchup here. Give me your thoughts on Jacob as an opponent. What do you think of him as a fighter?
I think he's good. I think he's solid everywhere. He comes from a really good camp. It's a tough fight, but every fight's a tough fight, you know. I think he's definitely better than my last guy, but I don't want to even diss him like that. But he's really well-rounded, and he's definitely, could be a top-ranked guy one day.
Big win here. Does that erase what happened earlier in the year, or is that still going
to
burn?
No, that's going to burn forever, man. I don't think so. And I would like to get that back one day, but I got to work my way up. You know, props to him, but I got to do my thing too.
That's the last thing for me. I guess what kind of fight do you think we see here? I mean, is this something that you can go dominate and get a quick win this time around, or do you grind him out?
I'm thinking, like, everything I've done my last 23 years, 24 years, doesn't even matter anymore after that last fight. So I think you're going to see a Maximov 2.0, and everyone's going to be pleasantly surprised and excited.
Nick, back here. You said you were training up with Kron in Montana. What's he up to these days? A lot of fans are always wondering if he's ever going to get back into
the out on the fucking boonies, hunting shit, killing shit, and just living his Montana life, man. He's just kicking it. But he seems happy and, like, a good headspace, you know. So we didn't really talk about fighting, though. We were just kind of trying to talk about life and just how everyone's doing, you know, and we'll see, but I bet he'll fight again. You know, I think it's just how he is.
And you talked about the chaos surrounding 279 and Hamza and everything. If he moves up, do you view that as unfinished business with your camp?
Of course. Yeah, I would love to fight that dude. Even just watching how he fought Kevin Holland. Kevin did a pretty good job for a day's notice, and Kevin's not a wrestler. So I think 85 would be a really tough weight for him. I don't see him getting past a lot of the top 10 guys, you know, but we'll see.
And there's another middleweight coming from the Contender Series. Bo Nickel's making a lot of noise.
I would love to fight Bo Nickel.
A lot of people seem to think he could compete in the top 10 right away, even before his UFC debut. What do you make of him?
How can you say you're going to compete with a top 10, top 15 guy, and no offense to Jamie Pickett, but fight Jamie Pickett? It's fucking crazy, right? That's like, it just doesn't make sense. These guys just say anything for a headline. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'll fight Izzy. Like, I saw people saying you wanted to fight Izzy and shit. But then you're finding the bottom-ranked guy on the roster. Like, let's be real here. Like, come on, you know?
So what did you make of his comment saying if he fought on the prelims, he'd probably retire?
And then retire. Fucking go retire.
Who cares? Was that Nick? with this matchup, is it going to be Chico high wrestling versus Australian wrestling, or what's up?
Oh, hell no. I wrestled at college, brother. It's Clackamas Community College wrestling against Aussie wrestling.
And then, you know, you say that it's Nick Maximov 2.0. Is this the point where we're going to see your boxing come out?
More than that, I think just, like, you're going to see, like, the excitement. Like, before it was almost like protecting something. Now it's like everything to gain. Now let's gain something, right? So before it's like the record, this and that, blah blah blah, the dumb shit. Now it's like, here we go, let's do something exciting, let's get people what they want to see, you know.
Is it kind of like you've already been submitted in the first round. Like, it's like,
that's the worst way for me to lose, in my opinion, is how I lost. So I'm like, yeah, there's I have nothing to lose now. Really nothing to lose.
And then finally, WWE's been talking to Nate. Jake Paul's been talking to Nate. Ryzen's been talking about Nate with Floyd. Like, what would you like to see Nate do?
Whatever suits him best. I think, he's such a great boxer. I would love to see him box some of the better boxers in the world. I think he'd surprise a lot of people. So I hope he does something like that. And but he should just do whatever he wants to do. I mean, he can do. He can do that. So, yeah, we'll see. I hope he boxes, though, man. He's a really good boxer. And his last fight, he looked great, too. He looked like a kickboxer in his last fight, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we'll see.
I like it. I mean, the Diaz flavor is in there. There's no question about it at all. And, hey, man, the dude wants Khamzat. The dude wants Bo Nickel. Like, let's go. Let's go.
I would love to see him and Bo Nickel.
Great.
I mean, like, that fight would – like, that's a lot more possible to happen than anything else anytime soon. But, no, I mean, I think that would be a good test. I mean, if you want to step up, I mean, because we've seen Bo Nickel's wrestling's just absolutely fantastic. Poor, I'd love to see that
poor
happen.
Jamie Pickett catching some strays. He's like, what did I do?
Signed the dotted line. That's what you did.
Oh, man. Listen, Mike Jackson is back in the early prelims. I mean, crazy to see Mike Jackson back. Tatsuro Taira, man.
I can't
that
believe he's
like
such
real
a
deal.
Big underdog.
Massive. Oh, wow. I didn't see that. Pete Rodriguez is the biggest favorite on the card.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I was looking up ahead. I was like, oh, man, which one's the biggest one? I didn't look that far down. That is easily...
Yeah, I'm
the
seeing
biggest.
Pete Rodriguez at -675, -700, depending on kind of where you're looking. And
yeah.
Mike Jackson come back at +500. So if you're rolling with the truth,
yeah,
might be able to cash some checks.
You could throw some little pocket money on there, hope for the best.
There you go. Late addition to the car with Joe Anderson, Brito, and Lucas Alexander, and then, of course, Pierre Rodriguez and Sam Hughes as well. So, listen, I think we're going to have an entertaining Saturday afternoon. I'm looking forward to it. I didn't have a weekend off. I still had plenty going on. If that doesn't catch your attention, by the way, there is a BKFC this Saturday as well. BKFC 31 is out in Broomfield, Colorado. I mentioned it. We obviously mentioned BKFC here and there, but some notable MMA names on there. Mike Richmond in the main event against Isaac Doolittle. Of course, Mike Richmond, multi-time Bellator veteran. Brandon Gertz is on there against Jake Lindsey. Chris Camozzi is back versus Bubba McDaniel. Couple MMA guys pairing off there. Talked to Chris Camozzi last week as well. He said he was pretty excited about it. I didn't realize Chris Camozzi, longtime Colorado guy, had never fought in Denver before. So as much as he's been around, he always missed those Denver shows. So he's excited to kind of get the fight in his backyard. And he had a really cool quote that I thought. He said that because, you know, obviously Denver is the host city of UFC 1, kind of, you know, brought the UFC to the world, of course. And then he said he kind of feels like he's reintroducing bare knuckle to the market because, you know, obviously the first UFC was bare knuckle, UFC 1, and now he's fighting bare knuckle in Colorado. He's like, I kind of feel like I'm reintroducing bare knuckle to the market, you know, their first show. So that is on Saturday as well. So
is that Deontay Wilder fight?
Deontay Wilder as well.
I don't know how to say his opponent's Helenius. I don't know.
You're gonna be watching that one?
I might give it a little pop. I might have received a promo code to watch that one.
Oh,
or I might be getting a promo code.
Where's your boy at? I didn't get the hook. I didn't know you had the hookup on those.
If it's a multi-use code, I'll send it your way.
I didn't know you had the hookup on those.
I know. It's one of those, you get those emails every once in a while from like promoters and stuff. Like, they're like, hey, you know, this is on blah, blah, blah. Let me know if you want to watch it. I guess I didn't read far enough in the interview in the emails where it says, hey, hit me up. We have a, if you want to watch, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I wonder if this will work. So I responded, and they're like, yeah, maybe we'll send you a code on the fight day.
Look,
I'm like,
at you.
Cool. Because it's after the UFC fights happen, so it actually kind
of
works out.
Now he's been doing – Deontay was doing a lot of his training at the Apex, right?
Yeah.
He's basically his entire training camp at the
he's
Apex,
been
right?
Back and forth. It's funny because were you there the night – or maybe it was one of the ones you were gone where he showed up and everybody was cracking up because they had the VIP area in the back where they had like all kinds of food and drink.
I was there.
And they like him and his crew gathered just plates and plates of food and just brought it out on the one table, the row of tables that's on the side where the spectators are. There's only that one set of tables and it would look like a buffet table. They had
it's
all
hilarious
their
food. Because they and they're like they have signs that say no food on the Apex floor.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody saying nothing to Deontay Wilder.
You're going to say no to what?
Let the man eat over there. I mean, he's already got his plate. He's halfway into it. Well, I mean, you don't want to interrupt him. So,
but you're right, man. He's been spending a lot of time over there, so that's pretty cool. But, yeah, when this popped up, I was like, I actually had some interest to kind of give it a watch. I was like, yeah, why not?
That's funny, man. You know? It is crazy to see, you know, how many athletes are starting to use that. I saw, like, the Notre Dame football team came by recently. I mean – you know, it's. I mean, the facility is definitely gaining interest and definitely.
The facility and the staff, if there's ever anything, like, I mean, people, the UFC fighters have been touting the staff since the beginning, you know, of what they've been able to do. So, I mean, like, if anybody really doubts, you know, like, the level of the staff and, like, the work that they're doing, I mean, like, that's the biggest sign right there, you know, is showing that right there. If you have big colleges and you have other professional sports that are like, hey, what are you guys doing?
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously it's working. That's pretty cool.
It really is. And I mean, the truth is, and I've said it before, but I'll say again, if you're a fighter and you have the ability to relocate to Las Vegas, like you don't have family tying you down or you don't have work obligated, whatever it may be, while you're in your fighting career, man, you should absolutely move out here, man, and take advantage of that facility because
free food.
free, you're getting your diet dialed in for you, and it's free. I mean, which, look, I understand, like, you don't think it's a massive expense, and it's not necessarily, but organic food, as most fighters like to do, it does add up, and it's just the fact of, like, not having to think about it, not having to pray. I mean, all you do is train and rest and train and rest, not worry about building a diet plan and cooking the food, and it's all
done
for you.
You could train, rest, go downstairs, recover, shower up, clean up, go eat your meal,
and
then go home.
Like, everything's
taken
care of.
And then repeat it the next day.
That's it. I mean, it's so worth cool. doing. And it's cool, too, because – look, smart little structure. You know, you've heard you know, a number of fighters have purchased homes around the Apex that are renting rooms to other fighters. So it's like, okay, maybe you're a lower tier fighter that doesn't have the financial resources to go rent you a house in Vegas on your own, because obviously, as you well know, rent is skyrocketing. So maybe you can't afford a house. But, you know, for training camp, you can come in for 2 months and at least afford a room, you know what I mean, and come take advantage of the Apex. So, you know, and so I think it's so cool because, number one, that allows more people to do it. But at number two, you're also now you have fighters that are investing in real estate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're buying properties off of renting it out to other fighters.
Yeah,
it's like, good
cool.
for you, man.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty smart, man. I like to see that. So anyway, if you're a fighter, take advantage of the Apex, man. It's there for you and all the services. Like I said, the rehab services, the recovery services, the food, all that stuff, man. There's no reason not to do it. So UFC Fight Night 212 on Saturday. We'll have you covered, of course.
Nice and early.
Nice and early, not a late one. And, of course, if you are a supporter of ours over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow,
mm-hmm.
as we certainly would appreciate it, we'll certainly get you loaded up with that and a half episode and the repeat. Had a week off from the and a half this past week with the show, no UFC show. So, but we're getting back to action, and, of course, man, things are going to start getting busier. I'm so tired of these political texts that I'm getting.
It's nonstop. I know. Well, I was gonna say they keep coming up on my computer.
I was looking for the schedule for next week, and I got like three come vote for me's.
Yeah.
And you know what, man?
Vote for D's nuts, motherfucker.
You know what else is dude, in the mail, man. How much money is spent on printing up those big ass things
bad.
That I look 2 seconds at and throw in the trash, man?
It's pretty bad.
Fucking crazy, man.
It's pretty bad.
Anyway, patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow for the and a half support.
Yeah, don't spend your money on those people.
Yeah, spend your money on supporting the podcast, not on these political advertisements. And don't text me, damn it. In the meantime, thanks for listening.